Coming up, my guest, Rebbetzin Rachel Miller, is here, and she will be sharing with us so much wisdom about the simcha of marriage. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. And if you like to read a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. My featured guest on the podcast this week is Rebbetzin Rachel Miller, author of a profound new sefer called The Simcha of Marriage. Rebbetzin Miller and her late husband, Manny Miller Zatzal, immigrated to Israel from Queens, New York in 1993, and she spent her first 11 years in Israel learning the secrets of the eternal Jewish home with Rebbetzin Talia Helfer. The class was based on the Sefer Ohel Rachel, and it was given in Hebrew. Realizing that this precious learning was missing in the English-speaking world, Rebbetzin Miller was inspired to share her learning through teaching, and her classes, based on the wisdom from the Sefer Ohel Rachel, began in Jerusalem many years ago, and they've been called life-changing, healing, and medicine for our generation. These classes now take place in person and internationally over Zoom. Rebbetzin Miller's new sefer, The Simcha of Marriage, is a continuation of her classes, a gift for the many women who have felt deprived and unaware of the true inner peace and goals of the Jewish marriage. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast, Rebbetzin Rachel Miller.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward.
I'm so happy to talk with you about this subject and your wonderful book. So first of all, just please, if you could tell us about the instruction manual, Ohel Rachel, upon which your sefer is based, and how it came about that you decided to put these teachings in book form.
So it's good the way you asked the question, because Ohel Rachel is an oral transmission. It is a Torah Sheba'al Peh, an oral Torah transmission that was given from mothers to daughters from Har Sinai. And it is the transmission of the Jewish home. And it was only written down 5 years ago when Gedolim, the great sages of our generation, realized that this transmission was being lost. It was being lost because we become spiritual orphans. The Holocaust was one reason, and just the immigrations and people leaving Yiddishkeit behind. And therefore, this very vital Torah was thinning out. And so when an oral Torah is at the brink of getting lost, there is a need to write it down. I would analyze this the following way. When 2,000 years ago, the Mishnah, which was an oral Torah for the base Medrash, when it was about to be lost, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi codified it and wrote it down. That's the oral Torah of the base Medrash. There's an oral Torah as well, as I said earlier, of the Jewish home. And that was only codified or written down 35 years ago. Because for all these thousands of years, the Jewish women knew what to transmit and how to transmit it. And as I mentioned, the historical events, what changed and needed
right.
Reconnect to this.
Right.
So Ohel Rachel was written, and it became a name of a sefer that almost every woman has heard of, although not every woman, but has no access to it. Why? Because there are no teachers really around to teach it. Because if we are already in a generation that we don't have the transmission, so how can you teach the transmission? So I was fortunate enough when I came to Eretz Yisrael 30 years ago to be picked up by the scruff of my neck and brought to a hole in the wall in Sanhedrin Morchevet, where I learned with Yerushalmi women in Hebrew, because I had that advantage that my parents sent me to a day school And therein, I had learned the written Hebrew language, the spoken Hebrew language, written, spoken, and oral. Yes, I understood everything. So I was able to join in this group of women. And for 11 years, I stayed with it and to learn the transmission.
Right.
And I stayed with the Rebbetzin, with the Sefer. So this Sefer became something that had to be written to bring Ohel Rachel to our generation, to make Ohel Rachel accessible to our generation, because it's a skeleton form book and it needs to be fleshed out. And that's the essence of the essays that are in the book, The Simcha of Marriage.
So in addition to the powerful and inspiring content within the pages of your Sefer, The Simcha of Marriage, the structure of your Sefer is also compartmentalized in a way that makes it an impactful and memorable reading experience. For example, you divide the book into four petichot, which I understand are openings, petichot, and each with several essays therein. And within the essays, there are practical exercises that bridge the gap between abstract ideas and practical reality, what you call imunim, which is derived from the word emunah. So if you could just tell us about the actual structure briefly before we get more into the contents.
So thank you for that question. It's important to understand that I have a co-author, Rebecca Allen, and we wanted the book to be parallel to a Jewish woman's life. And we wanted to make the material accessible in bite-sized pieces. So we kept on breaking down the concepts that each section has, and then broke that down into the actual essays. The essays are all preceded by direct quotations from Ohel Rachel. And the quotations are in Hebrew. The translation, it is a faithful translation of the Ohel Rachel in English. And then comes the essay to explain exactly what is not understood when anybody just picks up an Ohel Rachel, and the reason why the Sefer has been inaccessible. So the essay is me explaining to the women what the Ohel Rachel is trying to transmit, especially in the language of today's generation of women.
Right.
And then the imunim is exactly the way you said it, to take the ideal and put it into practical use in our lives. And I believe the imunim are quite accessible.
Yes.
They're stretches, but they're able to build us in a very gradual way, but a very powerful and impactful way.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite parts of the book because it is just so practical, very, very practical indeed, and achievable too.
Yeah.
There is a point in chapter one of your book, The Simcha of Marriage, where you write about the relationship between our soul and Hashem, contrasting it with the Western myth of self-sufficiency. I'm just wondering if you could just read for us an excerpt from your book about this.
Yes, it would be my pleasure. The Western myth of self-sufficiency is completely antithetical to the Torah viewpoint. The Torah teaches us that we need each other and we need Hashem. The root of all evil is separation from our source. Complete independence is simply another interesting derivative of the same idea that afflicted mankind from the first moment of existence, our presumption that we do not need anyone else. Adam in Gan Eden assumed he knew better than Hashem, that he could make the right decision according to his own vision, independent of Hashem's directive. It is our own arrogance that lies at the root of all separation. We believe that we will be more important if we are independent. The truth is that we live in a state of always being completely dependent on Hashem, regardless of any illusions or appearances to the contrary. Our importance stems from our neshamot, our connection to Hashem. That pride that keeps us from recognizing this and disconnects us from Hashem is an offense to our own neshama and our own self-worth. We are not meant to disconnect and try to prove ourselves on our own. The real goal is to live our lives with the greatest connection possible to our own neshama, to Hashem, and to all the people in our lives, actualizing the tremendous potential of our neshama and unleashing our own greatness is the true path to importance.
I love how this is a foundation of not just the simcha of marriage, but the simcha of life. And what could be more simchadik than our soul coming close to Hashem? So I love that excerpt. I'm glad you chose it. You often refer to Lashon Rakah, calling it a tool that expands our relationships and allows us to receive from others. So if you could please explain what this means and why it is integral for a marriage brimming with simcha.
So if the starting point is connecting to the source, Hashem, and Hashem wanting us to connect to our own neshama and the neshama of every fellow Jew. Starting, however, once we're married with our husbands, we as Am Yisrael are a collective neshama. But a woman, when she walks to the chuppah, and a husband, when she walks to the chuppah, has to know that if we're under the chuppah, we are already one neshama. And the proof of that is the mitzvah that Vayu the Basar Achad, leaving the chuppah when everything is lined up properly, that is the first mitzvah,
right,
which reinforces that we're one neshama. However, this one neshama, this unity of the neshamas is not natural. In other words, accessing this unity is a spiritual work. It means that I have to know how to connect to the neshama, my husband's neshama after chuppah, how to connect to it. And my connection to Hashem models for me how I connect to my husband's neshama and actually to Lashon Rakah, to all the neshamas of every fellow Jew. So Lashon Rakah is the first tool that is given to us in terms of connecting neshamas. It is the language that speaks to the neshama. It's not meant to speak to the head or to the emotions, although of course it will, because we shape our thoughts and our feelings once we have made the connection to the neshama.
Right.
Lashon Rakah is critical to making this connection, and there's not enough models of this language around us to put it into practice. But hopefully with the Sefer, the Simcha of Marriage, which is based, as we said, on Ohel Rachel, this language is a hidden language, and it is transmitted through this oral Torah, the Ohel Rachel, and now what's accessible to the whole English-speaking world, the Simcha of Marriage.
Very nice. And so just real quickly, how would you loosely translate the term Lashon Rakah?
Well, if you literally translate it, it means soft speech. But it doesn't mean I'm going to speak softly. It could include that maybe, but it's a language that makes the other person aware of their importance. That's unique.
Nice.
And that's why the source of a person's importance is the neshama. And that's why it's a language of tact that gives us the ability to connect to the neshama.
Right.
It's the language that makes the other person redeemable, even if they've made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to give you an example of that?
I would love it, sure. An example from a marriage.
Oh, I have a very powerful one.
Good.
All right. The wife's been home with two sick children, and the husband doesn't know. For whatever reason, today there's so much communication of potential, but she was so busy, and he was so busy, and he walks in the door, and he says, wow, the house is a mess. What have you been doing all day? And so this feels like a missile attack, but this is really a test.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mission. It's not a missile. Hashem, this is all set up from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is my husband, and I will be able to request what I need, provided that I first make the connection to my husband's neshama. So I could say something like, you're right. I wish it were more ready for you. It's important to you, and I want to reassure you, I wish it was also set up this way. Come, let's sit down. And I always recommend the women should know what their husband's favorite drink is.
Mm-hmm.
And why I recommend that is because I had learned from Rebbetzin Scheinberg Zatzal that the swallowing reflex is a relaxing reflex. Mm. And you're not going to get anybody to relax unless you first have connected to his message, not the packaging around the message. The message is he's coming in and he wants to be drawn into this world. He's leaving the sunshine world, the world of competition, the world of comparing, the world that he has to run after what he needs. And here he wants to walk in to the candlelit world, the world that a woman creates with the Torah manual, which is Ohel Rochel, and hopefully the Simcha of marriage. He wants to come in and he wants to feel drawn into this. And so she doesn't have to crumble. She can say, I know it's important to you. I want to reassure you it's important to you. It's also important to me. I wish I could have had it ready the way you'd like. Come, let's sit down. Once you've said it's important to you, I wish it could have been that way. Come, I'll sit down. I'll tell you about my day. I'm sure you're not aware. The key is to appreciate that that moment when a husband comes home is a very important, impactful moment of the connecting. And so it doesn't mean I have to connect that the house has to be picture perfect. The connection is, you're important. What you're saying is important. There's value. And the test is, can I stay connected despite the inelegant packaging?
Right,
now,
right.
This should change things around very quickly. And afterwards, the Lashon Raka is, because I have to now ask for what's important to me. This is not a complete. And then I would say to the husband, it would mean so much to me. I can't emphasize enough the softness and how it sounds to a receiver when you say, well, now it's important to me that you speak in a nice way. No, it would mean so much to me if something like this comes up again, if you could say it in a kind and gentle and loving way. And if you should forget, I'll forgive you. Taking that little extra is going to create something much more important than anything you can imagine, and that's the connection of the neshamas.
Right.
He sees himself as being redeemable. She sees herself as being able to express what she wants. She's able to sit down, and while they're drinking, she tells him about the fact that Bianca and Sorolo were sick today, and I was on the phone with the doctor, and this and that. There's time to talk.
Right.
The whole atmosphere is changed. That's Lashon Raka. Because the goal here is not the circumstances. The goal here is connecting the neshamas.
Yes, thank you so much for that. I want to also talk about another aspect of marriage that your readers will appreciate from your teachings in this Sefer. And I want to ask you a bit about Imun 6, breathing life into boring chores and mindless actions. That's Imun 6.
Mm-hmm.
I see this topic raised in every ladies' magazine out there. I've heard ladies ask about this very topic in classes that I've attended. And I like that you name examples of chores that different women consider drudgery. And then you encourage the reader to, and I'll just quote, to actualize the opportunity when we do any small chore and think, I'm doing this for you, my beloved family member, whatever their name is, because I love you and want you to be happy and to succeed, end quote. I'm just wondering if you could expand on this idea of infusing the simcha of doing acts of kindness within our homemaking tasks.
Right. So I want to make reference to my original Rebbetzin who taught me, Rebbetzin Helfer, in that, as I told you, in that little hole in the wall in Sanhedrin Morchevet,
mm-hmm.
She showed us the incredible power of what it means to wash a dish. She says, when you eat on a clean dish, it's energetic. It's a gift of energy. Take the same most spectacular meal and place it on a dirty dish, and it's like repulsive probably. So the gift of energy comes with realizing when I wash that dish, it doesn't matter if you wash it literally or if it comes out of the dishwasher, but the fact is that this is energy and my thoughts are energy, kavana. And when I think that Hashem, whoever should eat from this clean dish, should feel energized to serve you, Hashem, to succeed in their spiritual endeavors, to succeed in everything they want to be succeeded. The whole concept of doing a dish becomes a gift of energy.
Wow.
And this is where I originally heard and learned about it. And it is applicable to, I would say, when I was teaching in the classroom, I said, don't put your finger into cold water without realizing the energy, the benefit, who's going to benefit from it, and your kavana, that whatever the benefit they gain from it, it will result in energy that will give them energy to serve Hashem happily.
Wow, beautiful. So nice. Thank you. Later in the Sefer, we read about how women are natural weavers. You call it weavers. As well as the focus of life being all about creating connection. Now, the act of weaving is literally to interconnect things that are separate. I'm just wondering if you could expand on these ideas of weaving and creating connections as they relate to simcha in our marriages.
Okay. So let's think in terms of the Mishkan and the curtains on the Mishkan and how intricate it was. It was five women sitting shoulder to shoulder, weaving threads off of live animals, because the threads had to be very supple. And apparently, as soon as you cut the wool off the animal, it becomes more bristle. So this type of work could only be done in that type of incredibly integrative and close connected way that a man could not do. This is a unique female skill and nida.
Interesting.
And it's there in place for creating the closest connection between us and Hashem. Women have what we call the Koach HaChibur. And it is put into us for our spiritual work. And that's why the Torah was first given to the women. Because the Torah is 613 little strings of attachment to our Creator. When we do the mitzvah, I imagine the string disappears and we become completely united with our Creator.
Wow.
So that is why the Torah was first given to the women, because that's the goal of Torah, to become completely in a seamless relationship, united with our Creator. And we, in turn, model this type of connection. And in turn, the men are drawn into it. They're motivated. How are they drawn into connection? They're motivated to learn their Torah. They're motivated to be connecting. Because a man was created outside of Gan Eden as an independent entity. So he has a little bit of resistance of connecting. He's built to be independent and be in the outside world. But we have this power, this magnetic power, and this ability to draw them closer to Hashem and to us. And as I said, the closer to Hashem is reflected both in the Beis Medrash and the way they interact with us at home.
Lovely. Thank you. In the moment that we have remaining, I'd just love to know, what is your ultimate goal for the reader to benefit from by reading The Simcha of Marriage?
I think the goal would be that we can understand that going into marriage is a partnership with Hashem. A woman talking, praying, her first praying to Hashem at all times. Her first tool, even before Lashon Raka, is a prayer to Hashem. Hashem, help me to connect. And sometimes you might even say, help me connect, even when I don't feel like being connected, which could pertain to the example I gave you about the husband coming in a rough way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Simcha of Marriage is recognizing the unbelievable potential that comes by bringing Hashem into the marriage and connecting to Hashem through our little prayers all day long.
So lovely. Wow. Thank you very, very much, Rebbetzin Rachel Miller, for sharing with us your insights and some of the contents of your wonderful Sefer, The Simcha of Marriage.
My pleasure. I thank you very much for inviting me. I pray that this interview will bring blessings, brachas, into the homes of all of your listeners.
Lovely. Rebbetzin Rachel Miller can be contacted for speaking engagements through her website, simchaofmarriage.com. You can also purchase copies of her Sefer, The Simcha of Marriage, on that website. We also have for you a link to simchaofmarriage.com in the show notes of this episode, so you'll find it there as well. Plus, for details on sponsoring an episode of 613 Books Podcast, send us an email to info@heatherdeanproductions.com. Let us know a bit about your product, service, or book, and we will plan to be in touch. And that's what's on the shelf for this episode of 613 Books Podcast. I'm Heather Dean. Thanks for listening.
613 Books Podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean. Senior producer and director of operations, Greg Cohen. Consulting producer, Yisca Roth. Show announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books Podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.